Blog Talk Radio.
I believe every word he said and all his promises spoken to me. I believe that his word is true. Come on over and you will see that the Lord is good and the Lord is kind. The Lord will bring you a peace of mind. Stand on your feet.
Yeah.
Hello, and welcome to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. I'm your host, Wanda Adams, and you were just listening to I Love You by Michelle Bonilla. And guess what? She is our special guest today. She is on fire for the kingdom. She's all about our Father's business, and we're going to have a great time today. We want to first and foremost give honor to God for all the things that He has done and what He's doing in our lives, and we are so thankful. And with no further ado, we're going to bring our special guest on the line, Michelle Bonilla. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, Wanda. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm just so excited, so overjoyed about you being on the show today.
Oh, me too. I'm very, very, very excited and very happy to be on your show today. And also just to be able to share with everyone who's listening, you know, just be able to worship with everyone and just have a good time of fellowship, even if over the air, you know?
Absolutely.
Church doesn't have to be in the four walls of a church, so to speak. Church is everywhere, the people everywhere. We're the church, so.
Yes, we are. And I don't know about you, Michelle, but I'm having church within my church.
That's great.
So we're going to have a praise party today.
Yes.
And I just want to tell all the listeners, we're opening up the phone line, so if you have questions for Michelle, you can call us at 917-932-1720. I want you to text, tweet, and let everybody know that it is a praise party here on Marketing Ministry, the radio show, with Michelle Bonilla. Now, Michelle, I want to start off. I know that you had started your relationship with Christ at an early age. I believe it's at the age of 16.
Yes, yes. Well, I guess you could say I was one of those kids that, like, you know, I was raised in church, you know, the born and raised in church concept, but you don't really kind of know who God is until you actually accept Him into your heart and say, you know what, I really want to live for Christ. So that didn't really happen for me until I was 16. I was a good kid, I guess you could say. Like, I wasn't a kid, I didn't get into a lot of trouble or anything, and I didn't have, like, tons of boyfriends or what have you. But I didn't quite understand who God was in the sense of having Him as a father-daughter relationship. I didn't quite get that, you know. And it's like I did a lot of religious things, but I didn't have that faith lifestyle walk with Him. And at 16, that really became evident. It really became clear to me that Jesus was more than just, you know, the sort of being in a church or in a building or, you know, something that we do on Sunday mornings. No, Jesus is the Son of God, the creator of the universe, and He became to me for the first time my friend, you know. And I started realizing, you know what, wait a minute. This is the God who is creator of the universe. He is Lord over my life, and He wants to show me love, me, why me? You know, I started to really understand that. I said, wow, God, You are massive, you know, and You care about every individual person. It blew my mind. The concept just blew my mind.
Well, and, you know, that was going to be my second question, because sometimes, you know, we can remember when we received salvation, you know, when we became born again. But I know for me, there's a certain turning point in your life that you realize that you really have fallen in love with Jesus.
Right, right. And I think that, for me, that's kind of, you know, I guess you could say it started at 16, but it really continued on into my 17th birthday. It was interesting because my father was the one who brought the whole family to the Lord, you know. It was a testimony, really, because my sisters had struggled, were born with cleft palates, and they couldn't eat. The one twin was, like, losing lots of weight, and she was always underweight. She was always sick and in the hospital. And my father met this man who talked to him about Jesus. Because my dad had a lot of different religious views before that. You know, he was a Buddhist. He was all kinds of stuff. And then this man told him about Jesus, and he went to church with him. So we all went to church with him. And then, as my father tells it, he took my sister up for prayer at the altar, and he said, God, if anything, heal her, because I don't want to see her suffer anymore, you know, and just heal her. And I guess at this point, you know, sometimes you could say it's typical. If you do this, I'll do this. But that's really what happened with him. And he really asked God to heal my sister, so that he said, if this happens, like, I'll serve You, God. I don't know what else to do, because I don't know You. I hear of You. I've heard of You. I kind of understand You vaguely, but I don't know You. And I think that was the beginning of the relationship with God, you know, that my dad you know, began. And sure enough, my sister was healed. And she didn't require surgery. So you want to call it a miracle, you can call it a miracle. I say God intervened and he did his thing because he had a purpose and a plan. And we started leading praise and worship with my father in church, the three of us, me and my two sisters. And that was kind of our introduction to church. And then later on, my father had a sort of face-off with his past. And all of the stuff that he had struggled with as a kid kind of just, like, overwhelmed him again for a time. And when I was 12 and my sisters were 9, he, I guess a lot of people say backslid. I would say he kind of just, he decided, you know, he's kind of done with the whole church thing. And he went back into drugs and alcohol. And for a while, we didn't have a dad. You know, our dad was there, but just a shell of who he was. And so he taught us, though, that we could go to God for anything. So here I am, you know, at 16, 17 years old, and I'm still following the Lord. It's all I know, you know, and it's the only person I could go to when everything is going haywire. Church was the only place that was my safe haven. I mean, I was in church 5 days a week, leading praise and worship, working with the youth, doing arts, doing anything I could do to serve because I just thought that was the place that I could be safe, that was safest. But yet I was still struggling with a darker side. I was still struggling with, like, I guess you could say, a form of depression, self-image, because I was missing my dad, and I really wanted him to see what I saw, and I couldn't control it. And since I couldn't, I felt like part of me could only control, I guess, what I knew, and I took it out on myself. So some people are self-destructive externally, and I was kind of internally self-destructive. And, you know, when the idea came up in school, you know, at cheerleading camp, that everyone should starve themselves because we need to look a certain way and be a certain way and be accepted by all the, you know, the boys on the football team, and I wanted to be accepted and I didn't want to be rejected, I fell into the same pit that most girls fall into today. So it turned into something for me. It wasn't just a one-day starving thing. It turned into a lifestyle for 2 years, which developed into anorexia. So I'm bringing you up to date here because this is where God became real, you know. I'm in the hospital. I'm fast-forwarding now. I'm in the hospital. I had done damage to my kidneys and my heart, and they're monitoring me, and, you know, I lost a lot of potassium and magnesium. I mean, all the stuff that your body needs to function. Here I am in a hospital room and in the ICU unit, and they were really worried about everything. So they, like, constant supervision. And I'm in this hospital room saying, God, wait a minute. What have I done to myself? It was almost, I had this kind of epiphany type of moment where I realized, wait a second, I have been living my life, quote unquote, for God, but I haven't really let him into my heart. I've been doing lots of religious stuff and staying busy and doing stuff, but I haven't really learned what that relationship with God means. And at that moment, it was like a light bulb went off in my spirit, and I just knew God doesn't want me to just be busy doing stuff for him. He wants me to love him. He wants me to worship him because he loves me, because of the sacrifice that he made for me. And he wants me to come willingly, not because he's forcing me to, not because I have to prove something to him. He knows what and who I am already. And here at that moment, at that hospital room, I just felt the presence of God so strongly. And I remember the nurse looking over to another man that was next to me that was dying in the ICU unit. He was really going. And I looked at him and I said, God, what am I doing here? And I started repenting right there at that moment. It's funny how it wasn't like, God, get me out of this. It was like, God, forgive me because I have been really sinning against you and hurting my body. I've been hurting my temple, which you created, which you gave me, and willingly. And I just started asking God for forgiveness. I started asking God to restore my body, to heal me. And it was like I just had this big praise service by myself. You know, and I'm crying before God and just worshiping God. And I said, God, get me out of here. And if you get me out of here, I'm going wherever you want me to go. I'm not doing anything anymore. I'm doing what you want me to do. I'm not following the crowd. I'm not following the people. I'm following you and your voice. And lead me and take me where it is you want me to go. Sure enough, I was out of that hospital room in a day. I should have been there longer. And I was out of that hospital room.
God.
And that's the Lord, you know, and I just remember that. And I never forget because I'm like, you know what, God, you could have let me die. You could have let me go. I could have been not here today, but I'm here, and I want to tell young people, especially young girls in the African-American Latino communities, listen, you know, the media tells you that you need to look a certain way, you need to behave a certain way, dress a certain way, have a body of a certain image, otherwise you're not acceptable or you're not worthy. And here's what I say to that. Who is saying that we need to be acceptable? Who are they? Aren't they part of God's creation? You know what I'm saying? If God, if we remember and realize that our image and our identity is in Christ first, then it doesn't matter what anyone else says. It only matters what Jesus Christ is. And he said, come to me, those who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He doesn't ask us to come, you know, dressed up, perfect, you know, no sin, everything taken care of, perfect credit, no debt, no. He says, come to me as you are, just as you are, and let God take care of the rest. Let God mold us and take apart and prune us and take out those things that he doesn't want and continue to mold us into an image that reflects him.
Amen. Now, is that how In Spite of Me was birthed through you because of all the things that you went through and that you felt that you had self-inflicted upon yourself?
Yeah, I really do. It's funny because the whole, I guess you could say my whole career so far as a Christian artist has really been a psychological, like a therapeutic type of thing where I'm delving into the past, and it's sometimes, you know, we want to forget the past because the past is the past and it kind of should stay there, but, you know, sometimes God allows that past to resurface again, not in a negative way, but in a way to say, remember where I brought you from, you know, and I want you to tell the story. So I've been, you know, kind of me and God have this relationship where, like, I'll fuss with him for a little bit, and I realize I can't win, and then I just give in, and I go, okay, God, all right, I'm not fighting anymore. And really what's been going on is this sort of process of sharing what God brought me through. And Phenomenal was a record where it was the first time I was actually able to put lyrics to what I was feeling and lyrics to really what God had done in my life. And it was sort of this kind of exploratory record. And In Spite of Me is more mature. I've realized, you know what, God allowed me to go through this, but now what's the use of it? Here's the use. The use is this. In spite of who we are, in spite of what we have done, Jesus still died on the cross for us. It wasn't anything we could do. It wasn't anything we could give. It wasn't anything we could make, you know, happen for God to do this. God already had a plan from the beginning of time, from the beginning of creation, that Jesus would need to come and forgive us of our sins and be that ultimate sacrifice, so that we would have everlasting life, eternal life. And that concept still blows my mind. And I've been a Christian a long time now, and I still can't believe that this is something that a perfect God would do with imperfect humanity. Why? I don't get it, and I don't think I'll ever get it. But it's something that I feel is material to just keep digging into and just keep figuring out. You know, I think like King David tried to in the Psalms, and he tried to write, you know, how great God was, how majestic God is, he neither slumbers nor sleeps. You know, it's like, wow, this is the kind of God that we serve, and not even David could put it in, like, you know, perfect words. So here I am trying with the little knowledge I have and the little languages that I speak and saying, you know what, God, all I have is love for you and praise for you and a heart full of thanksgiving, and I just want to put this on this record. So every song is a reflection of that concept, that main theme, you know, I love you, you just heard on the radio. It's a big worship song. It's one of those anthem-like songs. I just want everybody to have fun and remember, you know, when you're going through stuff, sometimes we forget, like, you know, Christianity gets, we fall into this sort of complacency, you know, and it's like, oh, yeah, I went to church on Sunday. Oh, yeah, I went to church on Wednesday, you know, and we forget, like, yeah, we need to do that. But remember, you know, let's not lose our passion and our love, you know, for Christ, you know, for remembering the days that we didn't have him. If we look back for a second and we realize, wow, we were walking without Christ all this time, and he didn't let us die, or he kept us, you know, and remembering that sometimes brings you joy and excitement and says, wow, God, it just brings an awe and amazement of who he is.
That is so awesome, Michelle. Now, our queue is filling up, and we have some callers. Do you want to take a call?
Sure, go ahead.
All right. caller from area code 714, you are live. State your name and your question for Michelle.
All right, my name is Pastor Mark Rouse. I'm pastor of the New Millennium International Ministry.
Hello, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I was enjoying your testimony and where God had brought you from. That was so exciting.
Oh, wow. Thank you. Praise God.
I was listening to you, every song that you get, it's like everything that you were sharing your testimony about how God, what he did and how much it enlightened your heart. And and just those things that you share will be a blessing to others in their lives, and what you can do, just your testimony alone and the songs that you sing is going to be a great asset to the body of Christ and to the people that need to hear this, because a lot of folks are feeling like you feel right now. They don't feel like they can ever come out of everything, but God is using you to share that.
Right. Wow, praise God. That is so encouraging, Pastor. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much, Pastor.
You're welcome.
Now, you know, and that's so true, Michelle. You know, you are so transparent, and it shows through this entire project, because, you know, we overcome by the power of our testimony, and sometimes to reach others, we have to be real.
Yeah. I mean, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm just, you know, listening to what you're saying, Wanda, and the truth is, I've grown tired of playing church a long time ago, you know, and I said, God, I don't want this to seem like an act or a gimmick, or, you know, a lot of times that's what the world sees in Christians already, and they assume that this is just a religious thing. This is just like another part of life. Like I'm a business person, so I'm a Christian, or like, you know, I'm a lawyer, so I'm a Christian, you know, and that's not the case. It's not something we put on and off. It's really a lifestyle. It really is an attitude of the heart, a change of our lives. I feel like as artists, we have a responsibility, you know, to be accountable to that. You know, I'm not saying that we're all going to be perfect. We're never going to make mistakes. No one is saying that. But I'm saying, you know, if we do, and when it happens, that we at least can go before each other as the church, as one body. Just because I'm an artist doesn't mean I'm bigger or better than anybody else. It doesn't make me a better person. It doesn't make me, you know, super anything. The superstar in all of this is Christ Jesus to me. And my whole life is really to serve him and to hopefully, along the way, encourage the body of Christ, you know, to go back to the Lord, you know. At the end of this interview, when we're done, prayerfully we'll have encouraged some people, but hopefully we'll have encouraged people to say, look, if she can go before God and God can hear her prayers, then how much more can I go before God and have him hear my prayers, you know. Because it's not the artist that can do anything. Only God can do it. He's got the power to do anything, to change everything.
Now, Michelle, what does ministry mean to you? Now, we know you are, you know, a songwriter, gospel recording artist, and God has given you favor in that area. But first and foremost, I know that, you know, you have a heart for the mission. Ministry is within you. So what does that mean to you?
Well, for me, you know, everything in life to me is part of, it's always like you're sort of looking at yourself through this telescope or microscope and seeing what part of your life, again, you can lay before the altar, lay before God and say, God, what about this can you use for your glory? What about this can you use to help others, you know? So for me, to start, it's my testimony, clearly. I share that with girls everywhere. I definitely have a heart for mentoring young girls. I just feel like when I was 16 and 17, I wish I had a sister, an older sister, that I could have looked up to or that would have been there for me when I was hurting, you know, and when I wanted to talk about how I was feeling. But I couldn't open up to anyone. I felt like I couldn't trust anyone. And so my thing is, can we create a system for girls, especially in the African-American Latino communities, can we create a system where girls can have that older sister, older mother-type mentorship, and where they can pray with each other, where they can share with each other, where they can build each other up, you know. I'm not saying that men don't need these type of services as well, but I do see in our communities our young women are being targeted by the media like crazy to compromise their beliefs, their faith in God, to sell out, to sort of say, you know what, yeah, it's okay, I can have Jesus and the world too, it's all good, you know, just as long as I'm a good person. You know, and that's exactly what's being targeted to our young people. So, I mean, I would hope that, you know, that not just me, but other female artists would rise up to the occasion and male artists would rise up to the occasion to you know, inspire young men. I mean, it's so needed. Mm-hmm. Who are our children getting their advice from nowadays? If we look at the family and the family breakdown, it's so hard. The economy has put people, you know, has divided people, unfortunately. Mom has to work two jobs, you know, and if she is a single mother, you know, where then she's by herself. She's got to work a day shift and a night shift to make ends meet, to provide for her children. You know, grandma is 35 or younger, you know, and mom is really young, you know. So it's like, what is happening here? We have a generation that's growing up sort of apathetic to everything that's going on around them because no one is investing in our young people. We're not investing in our young people. We're not investing in their lives. And I don't know what I'm going to do to start something, but I've got a lot of vision and creativity and passion and ideas, and I'm hoping that God helps me to finish this nonprofit organization that I want to call Mi Hermana, My Sister, which is kind of in the works now. So I will definitely be letting people know about that as we progress with that opportunity.
Well, I know, Michelle, that you really do have a heart for young women and young people in general. And, you know, the Word of God says that, you know, the older women, and we don't have to be ancient, but we're supposed to impart and give back to the younger women.
Mm-hmm.
So I know you were just talking about, you know, your upcoming nonprofit that you want to get established. What are some of the other things that you do to mentor young girls?
Oh, right now I do a lot of sort of informal stuff. I take personal phone calls, emails. I do my own one-on-one mentoring, and I can only take a roster of, you know, so many girls at a time. But I try to keep, you know, a sort of a looping roster year-round where every year I have, you know, conversations. Every week I have conversations with these girls. And, you know, they could be, you know, as young as 12 and 13. One particular girl I worked with was dealing with anorexia, severe case of anorexia. And I praise God for her now because 2 years after our relationship, she's well and she's healthy. And I thank God because she was on her way out, you know. But her seeing that someone else could, but I think, inspired her. And I'm just encouraged that God could, you know, do the same thing in her life. You know, older girls, young adults, you know, I do what I can. I feel like this is what I'm called to do. So I don't try to say, you know, if I have the time, maybe whenever. It's kind of like, all right, God, this is my life. I got to spend it out and pour it out for you. And whatever I can do, I will do.
Now, I had opened up our chat lines, Michelle, and I just got a chat from one of our listeners. And they wanted me to ask you, how do we get our youth back on track? And what does she think about the music today? And where is her place in bridging the gap?
Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first part of that question, how do we get our youth back on track? So here's the thing. I don't think it's a one-person effort. I think it's a community-wide effort. It's going to take, you know, the mothers, the fathers. It's going to take the pastors, the pastoral leadership, you know, of our churches. It's going to take our churches investing in our youth. You know, some places I go to, and I'm not going to name names because I don't think that's right, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
Some places I go to, and you see that there is a financial investment in their youth and in their programming for their youth. So their youth are always active. They have something to do. You know, they're involved. And it could be, you know, activities like feeding the homeless, you know, showing them that the world is not as individualistic as it may seem. It's really, you know, we're here to help each other, you know, and seeing that and having young people involved, they get to find their gifts. They get to see what they're good at, you know, maybe figure out, you know, I'm really good at public speaking and I'd love to speak and or whatever, or I'm really good at art and I'd love to, you know, paint and donate some of my work to, you know, to homeless shelters, whatever the case might be. It's a starting place, and I really believe that our churches, we should be investing more in our young people, because we have the truth, right? Here's the thing. We are telling them about Christ. We're telling them the truth here. So if we don't teach them, who will? You know, and a lot of times this particular generation is unchurched, so they really don't know about God. A lot of times they haven't set foot in a church, so we're trying to, you know, say you need to be, you need to dress this way, you need to have this religious view, you need to, you know, speak this way, talk this way, and they have no idea what we're talking about. So a lot of times I find myself going out and doing ministry and sharing music, you know, which I try to make, you know, my husband and I, you know, my husband produces everything and he and I write and sit down, but we really try to say, look, if from the perspective of someone who has never set foot in a church, how can we share the message of Jesus Christ creatively and still be able to tell them, listen, you know, Jesus loves you, but this is not a churchy type of traditional experience. This is, you know, we want to bring Jesus to you and have him do what he's going to do in your life. So we try to be creative about that musically. But I also think we need to keep in mind as artists, as mothers and fathers, as sisters and brothers, you know, that our times are changing, you know, and what used to work doesn't necessarily work now. So how can we be more creative? How can we get our youth involved in what, in community projects, you know, how do we do that so that they can feel like, you know what, wait a second, Christ was about community. Oh, I get it.
Absolutely.
It is about salvation, but when he saves me, I'm supposed to do something. Like, I'm supposed to go and work for him. I'm supposed to use my giftings for him. Oh, wait, this is Christianity. I get it, a lifestyle. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, Michelle, we're going to take a quick music break. I want you to set us up for In Spite of Me. Give us the backstory and lead us into that.
Okay. In Spite of Me is, really quickly, it's just a song that talks about, you know, God basically being so perfect and humanity imperfect. And the hook says, you know, when I didn't know how to love me, you showed me how, you know, in spite of me. You love me in spite of me. You came to take my place. You paid for every mistake in spite of me. You saved me in spite of me. So it's really just a song of thanksgiving. You know, I'm so, so thankful, you know, for salvation, and I'm just kind of sharing it in a joyful way. So this is Michelle Bonilla, and you are listening to In Spite of Me.
Do you know what I mean? Couldn't see my own flaws. Too
Welcome back to Marketing Ministries, the radio show. I'm your host, Wanda Adams, and we're hanging out with Michelle Bonilla. Michelle, during that music break, I received a couple of emails where people were saying that you really, really touched their heart. They could feel your passion through the telephone. They could see your heart for the ministry. And, you know, time always flies when you're having a good time and when you're reaching the people.
Oh, wow. I've been having a good time with everyone today.
Oh, I thank you so much. I'm going to have you back because I know God has deposited so much in you.
Oh, wow. Absolutely. Anytime you let me know. Family,
yeah,
like
we are
you say,
family. Yeah, we are family. You got a couple of, I need to contact your publicist. You got a couple of interview requests. People want to have you on their show.
Oh, wow. Well, let me know. I'm there. I'm there, guys.
I know. Now, I want to do something a little different right now because I really do, like you said earlier, this is just not a radio show. God is in this ministry. You know, he's in and he does what he wants when he wants. Now, I just want you to take us into worship, and if you would be so kind to sing us into worship, share a little bit of that with us.
Okay, so you want to worship with us. What's something that everybody would know? Wow. Okay. This is one of my favorites. I used to sing it when I was a kid with my dad. And it's very simple. It's just, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh, my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, yeah, in what you heal, and let it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear.
Oh, hallelujah. You know, as you were singing that, the queue filled up, and you have everybody wanting to ask you a question. So God is doing what he set out to do. So right now,
wow,
we're going to take a call.
Okay.
Caller on area code 708, state your name and your question for Michelle.
Hey, Mama Wanda.
Hey. How are you?
I'm blessed with a lot of hype. I am so excited that you have Michelle on, and she just took me right into worship, and I wanted to just go right with a weird naughty. Girl,
yes.
You
yes. Yes.
Yes.
Come
on, y'all.
Yes.
We had naughty.
Yes. Oh,
Lord. Can you say that we
Mama, I really am enjoying this show. She has taken me to another place in worship on today, and it was exactly what I needed to wake my spirit up. So I appreciate the spirit. Yes, I appreciate it. I got to have her on our radio show.
Let me know. I'm there.
Can I keep this little, but Mama, I just wanted to say I appreciate the God in your life and you being sensitive to his spirit. And you definitely have woken up my spirit on today, and I just wanted to call and let you know we're here supporting you over at Industry Buzz.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
thank you so
God.
Much. God bless you.
God bless
God
you.
God bless you.
Amen.
We have another caller on the line.
Okay.
From area code 704. We have a question from Michelle.
Yes, Ms. Michelle. This is Pastor Ralph again. I would love to have you on our show. Also
wow.
On the Blog Talk Radio. Just you know, you are such an awesome woman. I was listening to you sing, and I heard so much in your singing, the volume and the depth of what God is doing in your life. I wouldn't be surprised if God takes you to greater places than even you think that you're going.
Wow.
Hallelujah.
And everything. So, you know, I want to know how to get in contact with you and everything, because you, if it's okay, I want to give you my email address. And
sure,
it's sure. Rouse_MARC@yahoo.com. And we would love to have you. Because
now
you are a black.
Wow.
Yes, ma'am?
Say your email address again. This is Wanda with Marketing Ministries. I'm going to make sure that Michelle gets this information. So if you could say your email address again.
Okay, it's Rouse, R-O-U-S-E, _MARC, M-A-R-C, @yahoo.com.
Okay, we'll make sure she gets it.
Because you are awesome. You're awesome to the body of Christ. The body needs you right now. It needs someone that has life stirring in it. And I was listening to something that you said, and it touched my heart. And you made me laugh because that's exactly what I've been preaching. We got to come transparent before God. And you have proven to, and you have been proving to people that transparency is what God is really looking for. Not all this hide and this cloak and dap and stuff that we've been doing, but God's looking for transparency out of his people. And when he can get that, then he ain't got no problem blessing his people when we don't become trying to hide or have a hidden agenda.
Right, right. And Jesus already knows us. You know, he already knows the end from the beginning. There is no need to play phony with God. You know, you go before him and you say, God, this is all I am. I got nothing, but you have everything, and you're the giver of life. Every perfect gift is come from above, from the Father of light. So I put it all in your hands, and you do your thing, and take me to where you want to go. I mean, I think that's what God is looking for, you know, willing servants.
That's God it. And because he's tired of all these hidden agendas, and he's looking for people that will be open and honest. And when I listen to people like you on singing and sharing your heart's testimony, you didn't hide nothing. You didn't hold back anything. I love it. That right there says a lot, because God is tired of churches hidden frustration.
Right. Absolutely. Now, we're running out of time, and I hate this. We only have 34 seconds left on the air. Pastor Ralph, Latonya from Industry Buzz, all of our listeners, I thank you for tuning in. Michelle, I got to have you come back. You were such a blessing today. And we have 17 seconds left. So just share and close us out on today's show.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I just want, again, to thank everybody for, you know, listening. Thank you, Ms. Wanda, for having me on your show. Please, if you guys are interested in talking with me, I'm available on Facebook, on MySpace, on Twitter, and also on MichelleBonilla.com, MichelleBonilla.com. I'm available that way, and we can definitely get in touch, fellowship, and again, it's all about ministry with me, so I love you guys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Thank you for tuning in to Marketing Ministry, the radio show. Make sure you're here next Saturday when our special guest will be none other than 2010 Grammy nominee, Dana Cadell. We again thank Michelle. Make sure you check out her on Facebook and MySpace and pick up her CD, In Spite of Me. It's available online. Thank you, Michelle. Love you.
Thank you, Wanda. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.